Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Man, the Ides of March are here, but not yet past. That's the exchange in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar on the Ides of March. And of course, the words are loaded with portent as Shakespeare works them out. And, well, all I can say is Election Day is here, but not yet past. This is special election coverage on this Tuesday, the 8th day of November, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the real-time, multimedia, madcap, zany, wacky conversation that happens as an adjunct to this program every evening from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm talking about the Horn Chat Room, which you'll find by going to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and clicking on Chat Room and picking yourself out a screen name and a password, at which point you will be met and greeted even by Dwayne and Hoghead and Laborman and Ralphs and Snork and Steve from Georgistan and BT Blom, as well as longtime inveterate, indefatigable moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has decided on this particular election night not to fold space, lest he wind up, materializing inside some vote tabulator somewhere. Not quite as long time, somewhat veterate, only occasionally fatigable chat room moderator Tim from L.A. will also greet you if you wander in. Tim is also responsible for reminding me to tell you who I am. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I've been Bob Kincaid all day. I've been Bob Kincaid since I woke up at 5:30 this morning. I was Bob Kincaid when Margie and I went to vote this morning at 8 o'clock, and I watched some irregularities go down. I was Bob Kincaid when I took the boss to go and vote at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and she got done at 5.
Hi, I'm Agnes.
That is Agnes. She is Agnes. Did trust me. That's Agnes.
Actually, I'm Zool.
There is no Agnes. There's only Zool. Yes, we get that. Who am I kidding? She's the boss. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's Election Day. I saw some weirdness at my own polling place. Our good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual, raw milk, swilling, teabagger legislature did a couple of things to monkey with the election process in the last couple of years. One of them was to get rid of the straight ballot vote, which may actually inure to Democratic benefit this year, because that meant that all the Trumpansies actually had to go to the trouble of voting down the ballot. Mm-hmm. And secondly, they imposed a voter ID law, but that thing doesn't take effect until 2018. And lo and behold, I was standing in line this morning when I watched a poll worker ask the person right in front of me for their photo ID. Wasn't legal. So I called the Secretary of State's office, and they said, well, yes, under certain circumstances, they can do that. Like what? Well, I mean, were they black? No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. But, of course, we don't have a very large minority population in West Virginia, but it's anticipated to grow. And that's what the Republicans, the teabaggers, the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, and booger eaters were thinking about when they passed the voter ID law, the photo, right. But it's been amazing. I've been voting at that precinct since 2000, and I have never seen anything like it. Yeah, I mean nothing like it. I mean, like the turnout's high in other places too. I read one story where Florida turnout has already exceeded that of 2012. But this is astonishing for around here. Of course, around here, for the most part, it's people coming out to make America great again and make some more coal grow under that there dirt in our mountains so we can mine more coal, because coal is our history and heritage. Can you tell by virtue of the voice that I use when I say something like that, the degree of disdain and disrespect that I have for anyone who thinks like that, let alone, you know, says it out loud? We had one electronic voting machine, one video game voting machine, and everything else was paper ballots. It was one sheet of paper, both sides. And, no constitutional amendments or bond issues or anything like that. If I'd had straight ticket voting, I could have just, marked the Democrat and gone home. And that may very well have been part of why the lines were so long. But the turnout was, at least I was told, the turnout was astonishing for around here. And it was young people and it was older people. And now we wait and see. Oh, stop it. Asa says the anticipation is killing us, Bob. Did Jim Kunta Kinte Justice get your vote? Let's just say I'll be showering with bleach for a while. All I wanted was a simple I voted sticker, but no. We got the highfalutin fancy ones here. It's a big square sticker. It looks like the Constitution, and it says "We the People of the United States," and there's a Merkin flag on it, and it says "I voted today." I was kind of hoping for one that I could change to "I rigged the election for Hillary," but you know. Oh, and for those of you wondering, yes, the Green Meanies and the Mountain Party faction managed to get Jill Stein on the ballot. Yay! Of course, I don't have to see her name written anywhere for another 4 years till she does Presidential Groundhog Day and pops up again and talks about how impure the rest of us are. So here later we'll play a little game of Who Said It. Here's the quote. The United States has nuclear weapons on a hair trigger alert. We'll play who said it later. Oh, I'm sorry, Gerald. Gerald said, I voted 2 weeks ago and I didn't get shit. No sticker, no nothing. Well, that's because we spent all our money on these fancy stickers and they probably run out of them by now. Yeah. So now we wait and see. And really, there's no here in West Virginia, there's no contest on the president on the presidential election. Trump will win West Virginia and our five little electoral votes. The curiosity will be in the governor's race, and whether or not Charlotte Pritt and the Mountain Party were going to be able to draw a significant enough number of progressive votes to make sure that West Virginia gets a Republican governor in the form of Bill Cole, who says that anybody who earns a union wage makes an unfairly high wage. Gee, thanks. So we'll be waiting on governor's race numbers. We'll be waiting on the Attorney General, our pill-pushing, carpet-bagging, right-wing piece of shit, Patrick Morrisey, to see if he gets bounced out on his New Jersey ass. Yeah, I know. The Democrat challenging him is pro-fracking. I get that. Tough choices in November. But the race I'm going to be watching is the race that it's probably deemed insignificant by most of the people in this state. But the best progressive in this state was actually one of the best progressives in this state was running for office. And he was running for House of Delegates. And he is a dear friend of mine. I'm talking about Dr. Bill O'Brien. I've got my fingers crossed, my toes crossed, and the cat really didn't like it when I tried to cry. No. I hope he gets in. I don't know if he will. I don't know what turnout was like down there. But there you go. Dr. Who in the chat room says the major parties should stop giving the shaft to third parties then, Bob. Let them be on equal footing and you won't have that problem. Equal footing how? They're on the goddamn ballot. Does that mean the Democrats and the Republicans also have to give them some of their advertising money? They're on the ballot. It's their job to run a campaign. Nobody kept them off the ballot. Only one person gets to hold the office. So that's how it works out. There aren't enough progressives in West Virginia to elect a progressive governor, but there might be enough of them who were misguided enough to help us have Bill Cole, a Republican, in the governor's office. Won't that be lovely? Yeah, I'm sure the progressive Democrats will just love them for that if that happens, and their Mountain Party brand will become a little bit more toxic than it already is. Of course, on the rest of my ballot, Mountain Party, no one nominated. 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 Mountain Party's a legitimate party in West Virginia. All I got to do is nominate a goddamn candidate. Bang, on the ballot. It's not like the man's keeping them down. They just can't muster up any interest. There we go. We'll see what happens over the course of the evening. Of course, I promised, and I am going to come through on it. I promised that we would have a front porch this evening. Stand by just a second. Why does the doctor's office call you with a reminder about an appointment 2 days later at 6 o'clock, at 6:16 in the evening? I don't know. But that's what that was, in case you were wondering. But had to take it. But anyway, I promised a front porch extravaganza this evening for anyone who would care to join in. If you've never taken part in the front porch, it's very, very easy. All you have to do is send a contact request on Skype, not to me. You know, if you're calling on Skype, you're calling me, and that's Bob Kincaid Horn. No, no, no. You send a contact request, if you haven't already, to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, Sparky Dunk, on Skype. Sparky throws out the breadcrumb trail, and ba-dum, we're into the front porch. So, we're going to do that. I guess the rules just changed again. In the chat room, Doctor Who says the major parties should stop spending money to silence them, Bob. Establishment corporate Dems are even spending money to shut out progressive Bernie-crats within the Democratic Party. I don't know how you spend money to silence somebody who's on the goddamn ballot. It's up to them to raise the money to advertise their cause, because this is still a capitalist election system. And as far as silencing them, well, I saw a clip earlier today. You know who was out there pressing Jill Stein's message for her? The Republicanist of Republicans, Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum. And that's where that quote came from. Some sort of video interview that Tofu Palin gave, in which she said, "The U.S. has a nuclear arsenal on a hair trigger alert." Really? A hair trigger alert. Hair trigger. You know, like in dueling pistols. Or like, you know, the way your super marksman brother-in-law modifies the trigger on his .30-06 for deer season. It's a hair trigger. It can go off in a second without hardly anybody a-touching of it. Hair trigger alert. That's going to come as rather of a surprise to all the people in the Pentagon who are, you know, involved in the nuclear weapons not launching business. I mean, she was worried about Hillary because the nuclear weapons are on a hair trigger alert. And you know, because, you know, Trump can be trusted with a hair trigger. The man can't be trusted with a hair piece. Oh, well, that's what you get. So, we will also have available the stress line. Which is, of course, is 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. That's for anybody out there who can't figure out how to make the Skype work, and people who don't have Skype and just have phones and things like that, because that technology is still out there. I mean, there are people who just have phones and don't have Skype. So that's there as well. So by all means, jump on in. Sparky is pulling together the group now, and among other things, he's throwing out the breadcrumb trail. I had a note from... let me add this in. Big thanks go out to our subscribers overnight. We ended with a deficit, but we're okay. We're just going to try to raise $200 this evening. And thanks very kindly to the Angry Architect in Australia. Jeez. Thank you, Angry Architect. We got $200 to raise this evening. It is very much appreciated. And hopefully, you know, now that the election is over, we can get fundraising back to somewhat more normal levels now that we've engaged in our quadrennial wealth transfer from working people to media corporations who hate their freaking guts and get and media executives who get rotten, dirty, filthy, stinking wealthy every 4 years off, $3 and $4 and $5 at a time, contributions from both Republicans and Democrats and what have you. Okay, that's pretty awful. Scott and Punky with an email. Maybe there was a silly misunderstanding that resulted from a jumbled tweet that was actually the German interpretation of the name of Roy Rogers' horse, Hair Trigger. Hair Trigger, H-E-R-R. You're going to hell for that, Scott. But then again. And poor Tim. Tim from L.A. didn't get a sticker. I went 10 a.m. and they didn't give me a sticker. Election fraud! Our sticker's cool. It's written in English, Chinese, twice, Japanese, Spanish, Korean, Filipino, and Vietnamese. God, if we passed those out here in West Virginia, we'd probably have a riot. What are they trying to indoctrinate our little God-fearing American children into? Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see here. Let me. I gotta find it. It's somewhere here. Because based on something that was said on the program the other night, I have. Let's see. I have our bumper set up already. Courtesy of our buddy Scott in Sweden, who is back from his and Birgitta's slowpoke road trip. And I'm really, really, looking forward to playing it. Also, now hold your horses. I didn't mean for you to play it just yet. Daggum, Mark Stragan. Share a little mail along the way. A note from Paul from Parts Unknown. Subject line, Election Day. Dear Bob, this election season is nearly over and it has been a long, hard slog to get here. I have to say it is the most difficult election I've ever been part of. I know that emotions are running high on multiple sides, even within the Horn community. I'd like to contribute my thoughts about this election without telling people how to vote or getting Bob in any further hot water. Or I would add editorially, getting me in any hot water that I haven't already gotten myself into. Paul continues. Disclaimer, the following are just my thoughts and opinions and do not reflect Bob Kincaid's. Man, when emails start containing disclaimers like that, you know that we've gotten a little sensitive. Oh, before we go any further, a reminder, this is the last night for new subscribers to get an $11 boost courtesy of Ralph's for our commemoration of our 11th anniversary here at the Horn. This is the last night. But if you do subscribe, you'll also get a $5 boost from Tracy, the lady cab driver, up through Friday the 11th, okay? But this is the last night for the $11 new subscriber boost from Ralph's, and that, just click the box at headonradionetwork.com/contribute. Click the box that says make this a recurring monthly donation, put in whatever amount you like, and your first month will be upped by $11, so I wanted to make sure that we got that reminder out there. We've had several people take Ralph's up on it, and I thank Ralph's very kindly for making the offer, and thank you for jumping in terms of subscriptions. One of these days, we'll have 400 $10 a month subscribers, and I'll never have to say another word about fundraising. It'll be beautiful. But anyway, back to Paul's note. I have thought a long time about whom to vote for and what action to take after this election. While I pinched my nose until it bled, I cast my vote for Hillary Clinton today. It was the first time in my life that I have ever cast a vote for a candidate that I felt did not see eye to eye on the majority of issues I believe in, did not do much of anything to earn my vote and really doesn't deserve my vote. I'm reminded of a quote you made on your show about Lenin, I think, and it went something like, don't walk away from the table when you are being offered two seats at the table when you wanted three. I got that courtesy of our dear friend Faith, and it makes really good sense. Paul says, I completely understand that. What I'm afraid of is that Hillary Clinton is offering progressives one seat at the table, but as we take our seat, it's going to be pulled out from under us, and we fall flat on our ass, and we're called fucking retards again. Well, maybe not. I mean, Rahm Emanuel's not going to be in the administration, I don't think. That's where that came from. I spent a lot of time, Paul continues, trying to throw my support behind Hillary Clinton. Every time I felt that I'd gotten over everything she'd done or will do, something kept cropping up that filled my mouth with the taste of bile. From her campaign getting questions in advance from Donna Brazile for the debates to censoring signs at her rallies that talked about the Dakota Access Pipeline, I have a hard time saying I'm with her. Even after all that, she got my vote. Donald Trump is too crazy and unstable to be president. You're right, Bob. Only one of two people can be president. So here's where I stand. Hopefully Hillary Clinton wins tonight or later this month if it's another Bush v. Gore situation. Please, please, sweet little baby Jesus, not that. I don't think I can take it. And now I will focus on what to do next. I will spend the next 4 years petitioning the Clinton administration on progressive issues, supporting our revolution with Bernie Sanders, and just being a painful progressive thorn in the side of the status quo. I will give President Clinton 4 years and plenty of opportunity to show that she is with us. If, after 4 years of effort, we as progressives are ignored, marginalized, and made fun of, then she is not getting my vote in 4 years. I don't care if something worse than Donald Trump comes along and we have to vote for her again because Hitler Jr. is running for the office. I will work, 6:28 p.m. Who had 6:28 p.m.? Damn it, Gerald! And he was on the way out the door, too. I do not care if something worse than Donald Trump comes along and we have to vote for her again because Hitler Jr. is running for the office. I will work to primary her out of office and then not support her in 2020. I'm letting this too scared of the other side thing, I'm letting it happen once. I cannot continually support a candidate or party whose main governing platform is that we are sane and think it's the 21st century versus batshit crazy and thinking it's the 18th. Eventually, it comes down to just putting off the inevitable. 2020, 2024, 2028. One of these crazy Republicans will get into the office and we need good candidates to vote for rather than just voting against the crazy ones. Going to end it here before people get really mad. Have fun on election night. Yeah, thanks, Paul. I'm going to get ready to be a pain in the ass or move to Canada. It depends on who wins. Have a good night, Bob. My love to the horn. Signed, Paul from Parts Unknown, possibly soon to be Paul from the Parts Unknown A. Well, I know several people who will be more than happy to help you with your real estate searches should that eventuality become a necessity. But, you know, there's truth. There's a lot of truth in what Paul says. We're going to get, and assuming, and I'm not at all comfortable saying that Hillary Clinton's going to win. Yeah, the probabilities, the likelihoods, the odds makers, blah, blah, blah. Uh-uh. No, not me. I'm not. Mm-mm. No. But it is the truth, what Paul says. We're going to face, and I've said this before, if he loses, what he has done is forged a path toward victory for some godforsaken right-wing fascist Republican who can say all the hateful things Trump says, but say them without a history of suggesting that he likes to grab women by the Mexican rapist. You get my meaning. And I hope to God that there is, God, please. I hope sincerely that there will be a significant movement across this country that picks up on what Bernie started and follows Bernie's continuing lead through 2018. Because guess what? It's time to start talking about 2018. Yep. One way or the other. Because we live in a permanent campaign situation, don't we? Of course we do. And we will be talking about that. And there is a generational shift taking place. Maybe we do start getting better, more progressive candidates. I'm at the young end of the baby boom. And some would say I'm a Gen Xer. Don't feel very Gen X. I always thought that involved skateboard ownership or something. But this is the baby boom's last gasp. Are there more assholes out there? Fuck, Trump has children. What do you want? But Tom Cotton's out there. Mike Pence has a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, hard-on for America right now. And if things don't go Trump's way, I'll be surprised if he doesn't unveil his Pence 2020 sign this fucking evening. Well, I wasn't talking shit about Gen Xers, Gerald. That was in all caps, no less. Gerald never types in all caps. Did you have a skateboard? Yeah? Mm-hmm. I might be one. I'm just the old end. I'm either the young end of the boomers or the old end of the Generation Xers, one or the other. Yeah, okay. Generation X usually covers 64 to 84. Yeah. That's what I thought, but I've been taught. Nah, you're not a goddamn boomer, Bob. What if you did own a skateboard? Well, it proves my point. You people. Anyway, thank you very kindly, Paul, for the note. Like I said, let us know if you need help house hunting. In the land of A. I'll be happy to help out. Okay, so let's take a break. We've got a little group gathered in the Horn Malloy Skype chat room. I hope it gets bigger, because I'm hoping what will happen is that we will hear from people all over the country, members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. And that y'all will share your voting experiences, your hopes, your fears, your dreams, your ambitions, your aspirations. And then, I mean, yeah, let's see. The polls will close in 55 minutes here in West Virginia. They won't necessarily start announcing projections for, you know, president out of deference to the left coast. But I imagine we'll get some numbers on governor's races and things like that. And, you know, the same sort of thing will begin happening in other states. But other states may not, the polls may not close here in some places. Lines, you know, lines out the door and around the corner and things like that. This may be a long night. Don't know what I mean, did Malloy, announce anything in particular this evening? No, I don't know. But anyway, we'll go up to 9 o'clock. Clarence with a note. Subject line, drop the M. Bob, the Mormon lost in 2012. Hopefully the moron will not live in 2016. Hear, 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 hear. So let's fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. It is an opportunity to engage in discussion unlike anything happening anywhere else in progressive radio. They might have roundtables other places, but it doesn't. It's not like this. This is pretty much a special chance. You know, CNN doesn't. They'll have a focus group. Somebody might get to say, mega dittos or something like that. But no, nothing like this. All right. Hopefully, we will get the fundraising going, so that I'm not sweating stuff. We're not sweating, the rest of the week going down toward 9 o'clock this evening, and not building a prayer meeting Wednesday hole to jump into. I'll even go so far as to say, please, now that the elections are over, let's get back to more vigorously supporting independent media. So, with that having been said, oh, and thank you, Marty, sending out hello to the Lady Agnes. Randy and PA noting, she said, I'm Zool. Randy and PA said, I'm Zoltron. Mark reports, CNN has said Georgia and Virginia will have results at 19:30 hours. Okay. Anyway, let's fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and get the break going with a bumper courtesy of our buddy Scott. Let's say it's classic, and it's a tune that was mentioned, last night? Yeah, last night. But in our buddy Scott's opinion, a better version, courtesy of the Red Clay Ramblers. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Nice. Thanks. Thanks, Scott. Thanks very, very much. I tend to agree. That's a pretty special rendition of the Stephen Foster original from the 19th century. Let's go over to the Horn Molloy Skype chat group and check in on this here election night, 2016. Let's check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm battling my cold still, so I'm kind of a little bit grumpy cat like.
That's okay. You don't sound your usual chipper self.
No, but I just want to say, I mean, after Friday, a lot of people were talking over each other, and I get tired of telling people to mute. So I'm not going to be so nice and not be off my finger off the lightsaber tonight. And I've got everybody lined up ready to come in here. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Well, that's okay. I mean, there was a good bit of overtalk, and usually it doesn't go like that, except I don't know, maybe people are just particularly worked up by virtue of the tensions of the elections. If you don't mind, Sparky, I'd like to add one other thing.
Good, go ahead.
In the past, and I haven't enunciated this for a very long time, but in the past, I had asked for a no reading rule. If there's a sentence or, you know, like a short paragraph or something, yeah, that one thing. But, you know, no multi-paragraph affairs where, that just eat up time because, you know, there's the front porch is for everybody. And we don't want to consume a whole bunch of time in something that really doesn't invite dialogue. So I haven't mentioned that in such a very long time, probably because, well, let's see, well, yeah, 8 years since I've mentioned that, but it's been 8 years since I really needed to. So are you agreeable with that as well?
Yeah. I'll open up the floodgates now.
Okay. Okay. In the meantime, we have Tim from LA, and we have Billable Rick. Billable Rick, did you go vote today, or did you early vote?
Talk, Rick.
Okay, Tim. You said you voted at 10 today?
Yep, 10 o'clock this morning. I went down to the polling place and I voted. It was fun. We had six people in front of me, about two behind me. Long line. And our NBC was there too, filming, so I hope I'm not on NBC.
Why? You'll be famous and stuff. I mean, don't you want to be Ken Bone with the red sweater and all that? But wait a minute. But something I want—you said you didn't get a sticker, but then you went on to describe the majesty of the sticker. What's going on here?
What do you mean, the majesty of the sticker?
Yeah, multi languages and everything.
No, yeah. I mean, I got the stickers like, you know, the last during the primary and the previous elections.
Ah.
And they have this. It has I voted, and it has the different languages for the different countries. And I thought it was like that all over the United States. I guess not.
In fact, you know, my I voted sticker still has 17th century quill pen type script on it, or 18th century. It just doesn't say Congress. It just says We the People.
I was kind of laughing when you said that. If they did something like that in West Virginia, there'd be a riot.
Well, I mean, American is what we speak here, Tim.
So I guess your sample ballots aren't in different languages, is it then?
Just good old American AAA, like we all can understand. I don't know. Maybe they've got a ballot in Spanish put away. No, probably not. They don't have those. I mean, hell, they asked a middle-aged white guy for his picture ID today right in front of me. And I'll be honest, I was getting ready. I was going to raise hell if anybody asked me for ID. I mean, Margaret actually turned around and looked at me and said, "Now, Daddy." So, but no, they didn't. So, but it was still, she shouldn't have asked for the picture ID. That doesn't happen until 2018. Oh, by the way, I got to share this before we move into the rest of the group. The angry architect wrote in and said, "Dude," that's the subject line, "Dude, Gen X and skateboard owner, hee hee. Even though I'm not so excited about the candidate, I reluctantly admit, I guess anything is better than an orangutan at the wheel." Yeah, right. I mean, we've seen Every Which Way But Loose, the Clint Eastwood movie with the orangutan. How did that work out? Yeah, Clyde was not a particularly good driver at the wheel. And, I just saw here, Sparky just informed me, and I saw it happen as well. We've got a new participant in the group. Welcome, Bruce.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for welcoming me. I'm brand new to the group. I've never called in, and I've been a longtime listener, and I just wanted to, jump in today. I probably will be mostly, kind of hanging on the sidelines. I think there might be noise in the background here. So, but anyway, I just, I'm a California resident, and I actually voted by mail this time around, and partly because I needed to vote by mail in the primary. I was out. Our primary, of course, is in early June, and I happened to be out of state, so I decided to do the vote by mail and kind of decided, well, why not just do this, going forward? So I actually voted two weeks ago, but my wife, she voted today, but she went at a good time where there weren't the, kind of the long, early morning or, late afternoon line. So, I guess our experience here is probably not similar to most of the experiences, throughout the country, from all the reports I see.
Well, we had a ton of early voting here in West Virginia, but the thing is, there was only one early voting site. And we're about, 10, 15 miles away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, I guess most people, maybe they're just old school traditionalists like me and they wanted to vote on election day.
Yeah, and I could completely understand that. I kind of missed the, having, I don't mind standing online. I think it's actually kind of cool in a way. But I did see that there were, some very, very long lines in early voting here, not necessarily locally here, but I did see some reports of, down in, the Los Angeles area where people were waiting online this weekend for like 6.5 hours to vote. But people slogged through it and did it. So that's, that's the main thing. And you only have to sit in these long lines, every 4 years. As unfortunately, as we know, these off year elections, people just don't tend to vote very frequently. So you don't stand in the long lines.
Right. So, by 2018, we'll be back to having a, 28% voter turnout in the primary and 32 in the general, at least here.
Right. Right. Yeah. So basically, whichever winning party, if the winning party gets 51% of that small percentage, is basically, 14-15% of the electorate gets to, elect all our Congress critters.
Right? Right, and that's how we wound up with our very first teabagger legislature, our first Republican legislature in 83 years, and they began to wreak havoc almost immediately. Well, let's check in. I'm awfully glad to have you in the group. I hope you'll be participating often going forward. Let's go ahead and check in with some other folks. Steve from Georgia Stan is with us. Hey, Steve. Unmute, Steve. Oh, Steve. Okay, Steve going
hello,
once.
Hello.
Steve going twice. Okay, let's check in with Snork. Hey, Snork.
Hello.
I was expecting to find huge piles of horse manure today. And there was zero. I found out that they're, all the horse drivers are in the other precinct.
Really?
My part of town was real nice and clean today. we had four voting tables. Each of them probably a 5-inch diameter table with a divider placed on top of it. And you had the whole table to yourself and a big comfy chair.
Wait, you get tables? We get, yeah. I was bummed out because I don't even, you know, we just get these crappy little booths with blue plastic walls beside them, and we don't get a curtain, so I couldn't take a I couldn't take a selfie with my ballot for fear that I'd wind up on the indictment list this January.
Well, we didn't get any curtains. We just had the little dividers right on the table, just pretty much for what you could see for, well, if you're sitting at a table. But only one person sat at each table, and probably took 90 seconds at the best. Basically, as you come in, they ask you to turn your cell phone off. By the time your cell phone goes through the beep cycle to show that it's off, they've already handed you the book to sign in, and the next person has in their hand the ballot to hand you, and then they point to where they want you to go fill out the bubbles. There really wasn't very many bubbles here, and basically got back out. We had four precincts for 6,000 people, probably all identically placed.
Complected.
And, the timing, I think we had the longest election opening of all states. We were open from 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. tonight, Central Time.
Okay, so
we're
so,
one of the last states to actually close down tonight. You know, you got the opportunity to vote 14 hours. There was early voting, mail-in voting. There was no reason not to vote. And
that can't necessarily be said in other jurisdictions, though. I mean, look at Hamilton County, Ohio, where they had one early voting precinct for 800,000 people or so.
Right. That's kind of what I'm contrasting, is that even the actual voting, there was early voting here for over a month. But this actual voting, probably a minute and a half is allocated per voter in time-wise. There was a huge parking space, all completely empty. The only vehicle in the entire parking lot was my bike. Most of the people walked, and even the people that were running it walked. And just total contrast to what you see in these other towns, where there's these huge crowds of people pushing up against each other because it's getting cold out. And pleasant atmosphere. We didn't have anybody there to intimidate. And it's just, you know, our polls closed so late. It's just incredible to me how much opportunity there is to vote. I can remember before, when I lived in Illinois, having to rush to get to some place to vote before it closed. And never had this kind of...
Okay, so just to be clear, the Iowa polls are open for another 3 hours now?
Yeah, another 3 hours. People getting off work probably don't even have to hurry. And again, there's only 1,500 people in each precinct to vote. They can go through 240 people an hour before they have to ask people to hurry.
And this is, of course, a very, very white precinct, right?
Yeah, I think we have somebody that's not white. I can't remember if they're in this district or if they're across the street.
Somebody. But, someone.
Someone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of like my precinct. There was no real voter suppression going on because, well, we don't have any people of color to suppress here.
Well, I know we have five or six in town, but really don't have a minority here. It's more of what shade of white you are.
damn pinkies.
50% of the town is basically from German ancestry, and most of the other 50% is from Italian. So it's kind of the light-haired versus the darker-haired.
Ah, no wonder that blue-eyed versus brown-eyed thing arose in Iowa. Right, right, okay. Well, let's check in with some other members of the group. Go back and see if Steve's hooked up yet. Steve from Georgia, Stan?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob. I apologize. I couldn't find my mute button, and you're calling my name, and I'm scrambling, and then and this getting old thing just sucks, you know? Just can't put it together.
Hey, gall dang it, I can't find the gall dang mute button. What color is it this week, Microsoft, you bastards?
Where's my hearing aid? How do you turn this dead bird thing up? but how you doing, Mr. Kincaid?
I'm doing good. I just noticed a little linky in the chat room. Hey, we've had an active shooter incident in Azusa, California, at or near a polling place.
Nice.
A guy with a bulletproof vest, and they had to lock down the polling place. Now, golly gee, what better way to keep people from voting?
So, despite all that, Bob, are you feeling any more optimistic? I mean, Nate Silver has really jacked up his favorabilities for Hillary. I don't know if you've looked into that.
I'm not going to feel better till something is announced because, I mean, turnout was crazy here. I mean, this is a little bitty town with very few people in it, and the idea that there would be an hour-long wait...
Strange. It was reverse crazy here in Georgia, Stanwell, up here in the mountains. One of the poll workers told me they had 9,000 early voters. They were like quarter staffed. I got there around 3, and she said by that time they'd only had 1,400, and I was in and out in 5 minutes. Of course, this is a heavily Republican district, so read into that what you will.
Yeah, you've got all the necessary voting apparatus and paraphernalia and infrastructure you could possibly ever want.
Of course, we got these ATM machines, so who knows? You feel like you're voting into a black void, so...
Yeah, and that's all you've got. You don't have any chance, no optical scan, no nothing.
Nothing. No nothing. And a lot of the local races, all we had was Republicans, no opposition. I just abstained. I just can't bring myself to press that X for Republican, even though I know it's not doing any good. At least I could feel better about it.
Well, yeah, and I'll bet you the infrastructure issues were maybe just a little bit different, maybe, say, down on the south side of Atlanta.
I was talking to Cam, and we both agreed on the same thing down around Macon, where it's majority Democrat. I bet everything was flip-flopped to the scenario I faced today.
And even the votes themselves on the video game voting machines were flip-flopping.
You sound a bit cynical, Bob. I won't go that far, but you could be right, you know. I have no way of knowing.
It ain't like it hasn't happened.
That's true. That's true. But, you got a lot of people in here, Bob. Go ahead and bring somebody else in.
All right. Hey, Tracy, what's happening?
Okay, I found a mute button.
What is this? The second decade of the 21st century. Where's Waldo? Where's the mute button?
Fuck all y'all. Okay, just, you know, I feel like I'm feeling a bit like Red Fox did in Harlem Nights when he was, you know, for anybody who's never seen it, Red Fox play the dealer. I mean, now whatever it is that calls the shop for crap, playing craps, and he was calling the wrong numbers. And, of course, they finally gave him a pair of glasses, and he's like, blind motherfuckers. He's like, fuck all y'all. So that's how I'm feeling about fuck all y'all. So what? If I need the glasses to find my goddamn mute button.
Hey, not your fault. Not your fault.
So how everybody doing? Happy election day, y'all.
Happy election day, Tracy. Have you done your voting, or did you do it early?
See, what had happened was I was waiting because I moved, and I... clearly put my mailing address is one place and my residential address is yet another, but the powers that be, the LA County Registrar's Office, sent it to the right mailing address, but they still sent it as that district. So I called, I cajoled everything, and they still, so I just said fuck it, I'll just change my address all around. Well, which is all well and good, but they didn't, because I'm a permanent by mail voter, but they never sent, they changed my address, but they never sent me a new vote by mail doohickey. So now I have to go, I mean, because the thing is, I've changed districts. I still have the same state representative,
assemblyman,
whatever, blah, 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 blah.
Member of the House.
Yes, assembly, I remember him, that guy. But my state representative, state senator or whatever is different. So now I have to, go to the polling place, which is no big deal because I drove by there earlier because Jen hasn't voted yet either. And I, of course, I tell her how to vote. Quit telling people how to vote, Tracy. Yes, I am telling my wife.
Well, you're like that. You tell people how to watch movies and stuff. I mean,
yeah. And actually, I'm going to really kill you guys because I did smothered chicken today, and I took pictures on step by step. So now I can scream. You can scream. Stop telling people how to smother chicken, Tracy.
We got a lot of stopping to do after this election's over.
You know, what we can't stop doing after this election is holding motherfuckers' feet to the fire. Now, I think you were, I don't know who you were, this, it was earlier when you were saying, you know what, we got 4 years to make Hillary listen to us, and if she doesn't listen to us.
That was Paul from Parts Unknown.
Okay, Paul from Parts Unknown. I hear you, brother. My brother from another mother, I hear you. Because I feel the exact same way, you know, holding my nose. Well, actually, you know, it kind of turns my stomach a little. That's why I said, what can I make tonight for dinner that is just so greasy and so fattening that I won't care? And I put myself into a food coma. So I came up with, and it had to be easy too. It had to be easy and, you know, very uncomplicated. So smothered chicken. And I was going to make biscuits to go with it, but it was too hot to turn on the oven because it's 95 degrees right now. Freaking November, 95 degrees, for God's sake.
Is it okay? So, I got nothing about Southern California. Is 95 degrees in LA in November? Is that crazy?
That's hot. That's stupid. That's hot. It's stupid.
It's stupid hot.
See, no, it's Africa hot. And I've never been to Africa. And I know it's Africa.
Wait. First cowbell of the evening, Africa hot. Okay.
Oh, no, there's another cowbell. I was, is Carol Baker around? Is she in the chat room or anything? I was on her Facebook page, and one of her friends made a comment. Let me see. A shit show of smug bigotry.
Nice.
That they were, and that was in reference to their polling place where Carol Baker, and I don't know if this person lives where Carol Baker lives, or if this just was another place where her polling place is, but she's like, yes, a shit show of smug bigotry. I wrote on Carol Baker's face. I said, I don't know, if that's a cowbell or a toaster. But that a shit show of in ref, you know, I'm like,
no, that rises beyond cowbells and toasters. That's just that's literature.
That's literature. That is just because she was referring to these people who, you know, they're, I guess it was at I guess her polling place was at a church. Separating, I don't understand how a polling place could be at a church, but I digress. But I guess people, you know, Carol being Carol was just waiting for somebody to do some bullshit. And of course, they did the, you know, fucking with her because of they said that she can't have her phone in the polling place and all this there. They turned away somebody because they didn't have ID. And I'm like, see.
Well, that's like something I saw courtesy of Sean King on Facebook. You know, he's been keeping up with some straight up nasty. And this is, I mean, just ugly. I went so far as to put it up on my Facebook page. An elder Latina woman trying to vote. And let me see if I can just get this here. I wish they'd stop rearranging Facebook every 15 minutes. Oh, here it is.
Along with the mute buttons on our phones?
Well, okay. Touche. Sean King said, just got this. Please alert the proper poll monitors about this foolishness. So this just happened. I'm in line, and this comes from Holmes Elementary School in New Britain, Connecticut. Somewhere, Darlene is going, Connecticut again? Damn it! I'm in line at Holmes School, and an elder Latina woman who was two people ahead of me was accompanied by her young daughter. The lady shows her DMV-issued ID to the elder white lady. The lady says to the Latina woman, this ID says that this is not a federal identification, to which I intervene and say, it's a state DMV ID and can be used to vote. Then an older white male comes over and says to the Latina, ma'am, this is a federal election, and this ID says it's not a federal ID. I then pull out my driver's license issued by the DMV, and it says the same damn thing. So then I asked the people trying to stop the woman from voting to show me their IDs issued by the DMV to see if it said the same thing. And guess who didn't want to show their licenses?
Mm-hmm.
The writer says, I am angry to say the least. I can only imagine how many people they've pulled this crap on. Oh, and the Latina lady did vote because I was not leaving there until she did.
Now, here's the question. The only federal ID that I know of is a damn passport, Bob.
Well, no, that's not necessarily the case, Tracy.
I mean, as far as if you needed to use the ID, because most people only have a state ID.
No.
Really?
Yeah, because a couple of years ago when I had to renew my driver's license, I was told that I could pay $25 extra, and it would be an official federal ID for getting me into federal buildings, federal facilities, things like that. Nothing about voting. I paid the extra $25, and you know it's still a thing. And
really, because I've never heard. Okay, my bad. Because see, out here, I just got my plain old California driver's license. It ain't nothing about no federal shit.
Well, I've got a plain old West Virginia driver's license, and now just because I remember paying extra for it. Let's see here.
Now everybody's taking out the driver. Please don't be driving while you're taking out your driver's licenses, folks.
Yeah, don't be doing that.
I'm just saying.
Doesn't say anything about being federal on here, except it's got a gold star in the corner.
You got a gold star, Bob?
I got a gold star in the corner.
That's your Costco card, Bob.
No. Welcome to Costco. I love you. The shenanigans are going on. The people showing up. Let's see. This was a real dandy. People showing up to vote with their finest Trumpansy togs on. For instance, this particular dude. And this happened in Minneapolis on Sunday at a Trump rally. This wasn't actually at the polls. He was just wearing a T-shirt. And, you know, for anybody who works, and I've worked as a real live, honest to God, no kidding journalist, and I have a lot of respect for a lot of people who still do that work. And we've got dear friends of this network who still do that work. The T-shirt says, rope, period, tree, period, journalist, period. Some assembly required. That's just a little bit chilling. And then let's see what else. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Another thing that Sean King posted, a guy at his polling place today, white guy, of course, black T-shirt, white letters, put the white back in the White House. He must have had that left over from 2012. Deplorable. After I'd already been to vote, I got to thinking, you know what would have been fun? Showing up with a basket. just carrying a basket. Not electioneering. There's no stickers on it. It's just a basket. You know what it'd be for, though. The deplorables. Yeah. Let's see. Damn, that smothered chicken sounds good, Tracy. Let's check in with Jules. Hey, Jules. Did I just lose the whole call? Everything?
No, here.
No, no, you didn't. I'm here. I just was no. muted. Like I was
Hello?
A girl and I was
okay.
muted because I had I have doggies that are taken out the door, I think. And so yeah. Yeah.
My dog's outside.
Yeah, so we just lost a dog out the door. But, yeah.
Away you go.
Away that the north way I go, away they go. I think it was one of the newbies. You have to realize I have 5 of them, so, and all of them are pretty big. 2 newbies and a sheepdog and a chocolate lab and a German shepherd and a mix. So yeah, all of them are pretty big. So they're not hard to lose. They're not hard to lose. You know, they're pretty easily found. Anyway, yeah, it's been an interesting day. Indiana's going to go to Trump, of course. So, what can I say about that? We're going to kind of see how that goes. But I have a dog barking in the background. So
that's okay. Just talk. Just talk.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, yeah, Indiana, as expected, is going to go to Trump, and we'll kind of see how that goes. But we'll keep trudging along, and as was said earlier, Molly there, saying this whole month pretty much is that we will come to the November 9th and we'll have to gather hands again and, you know, join in a big group hug and figure out a way to mend fences and enjoy each other's company again. So one way or another.
Well, what's the governor's race looking like there?
You know, I haven't actually had a chance to check. I have been so busy doing other things and trying to comprehend what's going on with the mass of everything else that I've not really had a chance to look. But as of last time I knew, we might actually go blue for the governor's race. I'm actually going to be checking on that here pretty quick because that was my next line of activity in my evening. Not quite where I've been at so far. So, but you know, it's been an exciting night here. Like I said, we've got all sorts of stuff going on. And interestingly enough, I'm not sure if you heard about this, but there was a flash mob meditation that went on at 6 o'clock this evening.
A flash mob meditation?
Yes.
Everybody Nationwide, just got together worldwide. And sat down and went,
Yeah, pretty much. It was set up, and it was a nonpartisan thing, and it could be done via the internet. You could do it independently, or you could do it as a group and go to actual polling places. And there were people that set up to go to polling places. And just throughout the day, people went to polling places and sat outside and meditated. So, or sat around and meditated. Just to kind of bring some peace and some goodwill to the whole bit of the election that's been so, trumped up. Maybe that's quite not the right word, but, jumped up and whatnot. And, so in the spirit of the mass meditation, that's one thing that I did today on my show was a bit of a meditation. And that was, you know, kind of an interesting thing. Just reminding folks that, you know, keep your feet firmly planted and, just slow down and remember what we're here for. So that was kind of where I was today, just slowing down and trying to remember what I was here for until the dogs got loose out the door. you got to go there too. So can't always slow down and reflect when you have situations like that going on. So. But,
well, you know, whatever works.
Yeah.
Whatever
I'm
works.
I'm more of the, you know, I'm more of the kumbaya type, so.
Right, you know, it takes all kinds.
It does. I know, and
I'm way too keyed up, and my inner Buddhist has just taken way too much of a beating for me to be able to get. You know, I mean, I may start out with, "Oh my God, fuck me, running! What's going on here?" No, see, that's how that works with me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, brother boy, do I know what you're talking about? I've had my days where I've been right there with you, but, boy, it has taken a charge to try to let go and be relaxed today. And, my, I can imagine what you experienced in walking into all that, all those people, not expecting to see quite the numbers that you saw today. So, I know we've had a severe, ever since early voting opened, we've had 2.5 hour lines here, so if not longer, so very unusual.
Well, I guess technically we're about 21 minutes from closing the polls in West Virginia. Let me see. Let me check with check the email real quick. Mark. Mm-hmm. Says, mending fences, fuck that noise. Hillary's maintaining 300,000 person lead in Florida and is continuing to surpass Obama in Ohio in 2012 response. This is up to the minute at state vote caster, signed Mark in the combat zone. meanwhile, Steve in New York says he's having signal problems with Skype, but hopes to get into the conversation here in a little bit.
Well, I sure do hope so. I really do hope so that he is able to. And no, my mending fences is more a matter of, you know, I know a lot of people have kind of had their differences on what they feel is right and appropriate for the voting turnout and here and there and whatnot. And I just hope that in the end, everyone's able to come back together again and let those issues go to the wayside and figure out how we're going to combat whichever direction we need to go, you know.
Well, if Trump wins, it's going to be a complete defensive mode, just trying to, you know, trying to keep from getting squished. But I understand what Mark's saying. If Hillary wins, I want all, and I do mean all, of the goddamn Klansmen to get back behind the baseboards with the rest of the cockroaches.
Yep.
The day of normalizing Klansmen and neo-Nazis and skinheads has got to freaking end. And I don't know, with all due respect, Jules, I don't think you can kumbaya with Klansmen.
Nope. Shove those motherfuckers right back where they belong, baby.
There we go. See? And now she's all better. Well, let's keep checking in along the way. Jim is calling from Louisiana Stan on the stress line. Are you there, Jim?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Bob. When I called like two times earlier, and it got kind of answered, but then there was no sound coming into the phone. It was just dead.
That's weird. You should have sound coming from the group. Somebody in the group say hi to Jim.
No, I have it now.
But no, you've got me, but it wasn't, I don't know.
Hi, Jim.
Can you hear Sparky?
No, I didn't even hear you, though, but yeah. No, I went ahead and voted, no lines at all. Yeah, I voted, we're only three things, president, senator, and a congressperson, and I went ahead and, voted two greens and
paddocks. So do you vote for like House of Representatives and state legislature? I know you vote governor at a different time, but
yeah.
Like mayor, city council, all that stuff is some other time?
This year, usually it's longer. I was surprised how short the ballot was. It was just three things. Now the presidency, the Congress critter, and senator, and you know, and then I mean, we have open primaries there were a whole slew of people running for, I mean, numerous Democrats and numerous Republicans running for
Senate, right? I mean, we kind of talked about that. I had never seen the use of that term before, just, I guess, because I don't pay attention to Louisiana politics. But they're the only state in the union that has what are called jungle primaries.
Exactly. They started it decades ago when I think the Democrats had, you know, control, and that's Republican. It's mixed. I mean, after 8 years of your hero and mine, Bobby Jindal, they elected a Democrat, or, you know, a Democratic person, you know.
Yeah,
governor.
I can't remember his name either.
Huh?
I can't remember his name either.
The Democrat who won?
Edwards. Yeah.
It's ironic because of Edwin Edwards, who was governor like four or five, six times or whatever, and ended up going in federal penal. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure I think Hillary's going to win, but, you know, we'll see. You never know. But I still voiced my vote, so I did my green thing.
Well, maybe they'll get 2% of the national vote. Who knows?
I still think, I still think Hillary's going to win. I mean, of course, you know, just going by corporate news, you know, a little bit of watch every day, you know, they're always projecting or having like 300 some odd electoral votes, you know, fairly insurmountable edge, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, also because Trump, you know, the pussy thing, you know, that's just, if you or I were running for office and we had a tape of saying something like that, we'd be out of the race before it ended, you know, I mean, before it even got there, you know.
We would never run because we would be vetted, or, you know, the DNC, the DCCC. Well, I'll even bet that the head honchos at Unicorn Central would say, "I'm sorry, you've got a pussy comment out there, Jim. You can't run on the green ticket."
That could happen.
But all bets are off with Trump, and he's what I've said before, he has forged a way through the political process that is just waiting for somebody who's actually competent at this kind of demagoguery to come along and leverage with real panache.
Oh, well, I mean, definitely. I mean, the Republicans just keep getting worse and worse, and unfortunately, the Democrats, in my opinion, don't seem to be going down as fast, but they seem to be going down the same road. But, you know, especially after what happened to Bernie, but we'll, you know, let's move on to other more pertinent points. And I've said my piece, so I'll just join the chat group.
All right. Well, stand by. Glad to have you on board. Let's check in with Billable Rick over there. Rick?
He's having mic problems.
Okay. Then Scott and Punky.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
Hello, fun lovers and truth seekers.
Hair trigger. Oh, my
Goody.
God.
You know where I got that?
No.
Just last night on the Johnny Carson rerun on Antenna TV, Germany or something was in the news, and I must give him credit. I got that line from Johnny Carson's writers. But anyway.
Yeah.
My voting story, I have none. I'm a permanent by-mail voter here in California, and I voted sitting here in my underwear, wearing a funny hat, in my living room.
Did you dig up the funny hat just for the voting moment?
Oh yeah, that's my traditional garb for by mail voting. And actually, Punky, the last couple of elections had felt left out in the electoral process. So I made copies of the official ballot and spread them out on the floor and let him walk around on them to intermittently leave little birdie colonic messages. And wherever they landed, that was his vote. So we'll see who voted more accurately as the results come in.
Who did he vote for president? Who got cockatiel pooed?
Well, it was very close. I had to pull out my measuring device that even has millimeter measurement marks on it. And I still wasn't quite sure, but it looked like he went for Jill Stein. He's I've tried to talk sense to this little bird, but
well, I mean, he's got a bird brain after all.
Well, he does, but they're smart. I mean, I have actually seen him when he comes across a sunflower seed that's too a nut, literally, that's too tough to crack. He will wedge it up against one of the horizontal bars of his cage and get it between the bar and his beak and will actually break it open that way. It's an amazing thing to see. But I guess you've heard, I've got NBC on, and so far with the states that have closed, they're projecting Kentucky and Indiana for Trump, and they're projecting Vermont for Hillary. And I had it on the page here and it went away. As I recall, Virginia is too early to call, and Georgia is too early to call. I think Virginia is too early to call, and there are a couple of states they've listed of these first six that are too close to call, but it's disappeared from the screen.
Yeah,
so.
But nobody needs to be calling anything until every poll, at least in the continental United States, is closed, do they?
No, I get that. That's been a bone of contention for many years.
I mean, I thought we sorted that out a few years back.
Well, they're only projecting states that have actually closed. There were six.
Well, even then, you have other states that haven't voted yet.
Two or three more at 4:30, just about now, Pacific.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Parky.
Have you ever followed Sam Wang from Princeton?
I have from time to time, but not on a regular basis, no.
His final projection today was Clinton with 323 electoral votes, 51 Democratic Senate seats, and the GOP House.
Oh, the GOP House was the easy part. I saw the New York Times prediction at 302 for Clinton.
That's what I heard, something about that. And I heard that there's a fairly good chance that Democrats will get control of the Senate. And, I mean, since the redistricting of, the House seats, I mean, it's going to be 10, 20, maybe, hopefully not that long, but another 10, 20 years till anybody, it's not Republican, so.
And Lawrence O'Donnell all week has been saying if Hillary wins Florida, it's all over.
And Bob, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
To ask you a question about the Senate, yeah. I mean about the House and the Senate. Can the Senate introduce a bill? I know it's got to pass both houses, but I thought the way it's supposed to go, a bill has to go to the House first, and then it goes to the Senate.
No, it can be introduced. With certain exceptions, a bill can be introduced in either house.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like, All right, well, that kind of makes sense to me, but I mean.
Money bills technically have to originate in the House.
What kind of bills?
Money, budgetary.
Money,
yeah. That was the trade-off. Yeah. The Senate gets the advice and consent job, which they refuse to do, and the House gets the budget, which they refuse to do. Aren't Republicans great?
Yeah, and then they can. Yeah, you know, it's just like I remember back in '88. You know, when the USSR basically went bankrupt and broke up. We've got all this extra money we can spend. And all they ended up doing was pouring it into the military industrial complex.
Oh, the peace dividend. I remember the peace dividend.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah. Yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
I'm sorry if I'm walking on anybody. It's not intended. But, evil Uncle Chuckles drug up some, you know who that is, don't you, Pat Robertson? Drug up some curmudgeon that actually said, some pollster, that he had it to his projections. He had Trump winning 270 to Clinton's 268.
Well, you got to have faith. You know, when you're talking about Uncle Chuckles. I mean,
I'm sorry if I
used to be able to watch that show, but I can't even, I can't watch it, so.
I think that scenario is the Utah scenario. Evan McSomebody or another, the independent guy in Utah that's running, hopes that it's so close that Utah plays a role and that he wins Utah and thus deprives both Clinton and Trump of anything beyond like 268 apiece.
Ed McMullen.
Yeah.
Well, there's one other little wrinkle out there, and Dr. John actually brought this up to me on Friday last, and I didn't get to it. I'm ashamed of myself, but tonight's a good time to bring it up. Are you aware of this guy in this elector in the state of Washington? Jules?
Yeah, isn't that the faithless elector who's announced?
Yes, yes, the faithless elector. He says if Hillary Clinton wins Washington State, which she is expected to do, that there is no way, no how, that he will cast his electoral vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I heard that. That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, if you want to play the game, play the game. I mean, I would, you know, even if I was a moderator, or I guess the senator's vote. Anyway, if the person I didn't want won, I'd still, first of all, it's not going to matter. So just go ahead and play the game. Go ahead and vote. You know, I guess maybe they're doing that to kind of make a name for themselves as some sort of a hard-nosed conservative.
No. Actually, he's a diehard progressive. This guy in Washington.
Oh, well.
He was a Bernie supporter, and he is he's a Native American.
Well,
he said she doesn't care about my land or my air or my fire or my water.
Well, I definitely see his point there because you see what's going on in Standing Rock. That's going fantastic. And it's hardly getting that much news coverage. I mean, I think you've given it some. Malloy's given it some. In the corporate media, you don't even hear it. It's like once in a while you might hear a little bit. I mean, it's the typical, well, just don't put it on the news. It's not there. But if, you know, you got to have halfway decent internet and you follow halfway decent stuff, you hear about this stuff. Then it, you know, it doesn't please me. I'm sure it doesn't please most of the Han Malloy's Skype chat room.
Well, in this particular case, though, I mean, there's an obligation that comes with it. I don't know that you could sue him, or I don't know, maybe move to replace him.
There's a token fine. I know that, but as far as getting someone new as an elector, I'm not sure how that works.
Oh, wait, Bob, let me ask you this. I heard technically that the House and the Senate, basically, when they get together, they do not necessarily have to follow what the electoral votes went. Is that true, theoretically?
Well, the Electoral College votes first. and then they have to certify the Electoral College vote. If you think back to the nightmare of 2000, remember how there were a number of members of the House of Representatives who were objecting to the Electoral College count, and all they needed was one Democrat from the United States Senate to stand up, and not one Democrat from the United States Senate would.
And I believe Gore, as vice president, in his capacity in the Senate, could have been that sole Democrat, as I recall. But he thought it would be better just to let things be as they.
Well, I guess technically he could have, but he is the president of the Senate. He is not necessarily a voting member in case of anything except a tie.
Okay, I'll have to look that up, because I'm pretty sure that he actually could have done it but didn't.
But
no, that's pretty much, I think that's the way it goes. Unless it's a tie, that's when you're talking about the vice presidency. Yeah, then the vice president gets the vote.
That is the only time the vice president gets to vote.
Is in the case of a tie.
Yes.
Well, let's check in. Laurel's with us. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Not too bad. Had a rather easy voting time. I've lived in the same small Midwestern town my whole life, so I think it's 14 times now I've voted in this precinct, and 14 out of 14 times I've had zero wait time. You know, I go in, sign the logbook in front of my fourth grade teacher, and then my sixth grade teacher gives me the ticket, and I hand it off to my neighbor lady. Pretty much go from there. But, you know, voted for Clinton. Didn't have any governor or Senate races. I guess I mentioned in a call earlier that the governor's race was up, but I was wrong. That's every the other years, 14 and 18 and so on. But voted for my Democrat in the House, and state elections. You know, I don't know if the Democrats win locally in the state elections, because rural here it's pretty red. But it was pretty straightforward process. Wore my sticker around doing errands. Tried to get a nice little picture with my dog wearing the sticker, but all he did was eat it. So.
Wow, who knew Little Thunder had a taste?
Little Thunder was
okay. Hey, man, you don't know where those things were printed.
No. Exactly. Yeah, he wasn't very photogenic today.
Let me jump in with a quick announcement, because when these things happen, I want to thank people and publicly acknowledge them. We have a brand new subscriber, y'all, which is really, really cool. Thank you to Marsha out in Oregon. Thank you, Marsha, very, very kindly for this election night subscription. It is much, much appreciated indeed. And hopefully you'll get some company. That means we got 179 to go in fundraising this evening. 179 bucks in an hour and 18 minutes. So we'll cross our fingers. Sparky, did Rick ever get his microphone problem solved?
He hasn't said anything about it. I've been giving him clues.
Okay.
So
when in doubt, reboot the device.
Amen.
Well,
but,
I've kicked him once and brought him back in just to do that, but I don't know if his mute, he can't find his mute button. His mute button's muted or what?
Well, my computer's so on its last legs that I don't dare try to check any election results on the computer, because I'm afraid it's going to bring the Skype down and everything.
Well, I'm looking at my Skype interface on a Windows 7 machine. And I've got this big as all get out, no camera button, it's blue. Big microphone button, it's blue. Big add button, it's blue. And then the big red hang up button. Is it less obvious in a more modern manifestation?
Nope.
If it's muted, it will be solid white with a line going through it. If
it's just got a line going through it. It won't be solid white.
Well, I mean the outline of it is white. That's what I'm trying to say, Duncan. If it's not muted, it will be blue with a blue circle around it.
It's always been blue.
Yeah, okay, you got me curious. I'm going to mute myself. Okay, I muted myself and a white line went through it.
Mm. Exactly.
Well, by the way, I checked in with Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. 300 people in line at the Hooterville precinct by the time she got there at 6:15 this morning, all proudly crowing for the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Carol says, and I was never more resolved to vote for the devil than I was that fucking moment. No early voting in Missouri. Unless you vote absentee, and then they're not counted until the end if it's close. I went old school. I wanted that fucker counted up front. 350. This much has to be said. I don't get it because I have an IQ larger than my shoe size. But... And I guess the for-profit media and all kinds of pundits and whatnot have been trying to figure this out for over a year now. But he's got some sort of magical motivation, Benito Cheeto does, over a significant portion of this country.
And I'm looking at a result from Florida. And granted, half the population's voted early, but they got a lot of the count in there already, 55%. And with 55% in... Trump has got 2.54 million. Hillary has 2.42 million. It's roughly a 2.5 percentage point difference. And that's 55% in, you know, it's a pretty sizable chunk, you know, only time will tell, but just see where that goes from there.
Bob, I got a question. Carol is in the Kansas City area, right?
Yeah. Okay. She's about an hour out.
Okay. Cause I remember back, I think it was 1988. The people that when you come to the polls in Kansas City, Missouri generally, you have Republican judges and you have Democratic judges. And I was a Democratic judge. And basically what you do is you offer the book for the person to sign after they've shown whatever their documentation is. And that was a long time ago. I'm sure... With the heightened tensions in this cycle, it's nothing at all like it was back. Who would have thought that 1988 would have been considered the sane good old days?
Well, but the question remains, and it still has to be sorted out going down the road. Is what we're seeing tonight and what we've seen in the last year and his great big Nuremberg-style rallies and whatnot, and his adoption of old Nazi words like Lügenpresse, is that a phenomenon that is exclusively Trump, or is that loyalty transferable to the next asshole who goose steps into the limelight?
In terms of Trump, my observation all along has been he's really nothing more than a lazy bullshit artist, all show and no dough, all hat and no cattle, sort of like W was, and. I mean, he can get his crowds in his rallies as whipped up as he cares to, but the bottom line is, will there be enough people on a nationwide basis who will buy into his nonsense to the point where it actually causes him to win the electoral vote? And I've said all along, no, I don't think so, unless I have lost my ability to observe and to comment intelligently, you know? But to answer your question, whoever the next GOP candidate is, or the craziest one that pops up in the primary in 2020, is going to be who these Trump supporters will throw their support behind.
Well, there's another wrinkle to it, Scott, and that is because of the way because of the interface between the Trump data machine and the RNC data machine. You know, big data is a big player now. It's conceivable he will have some swing 4 years from now. Now, at 74 years old, will he want to run again? Doubtful, but would he love to play kingmaker? I mean, isn't that what The Apprentice was all about?
Well, yeah, that is. There is that. There is definitely that. But then again, depending on how handily he's defeated tonight or tomorrow, what gravitas will he bring 4 years hence? You know, I would think that a lot of Republicans, at least the establishment Republicans, will want to say, you know, good riddance to bad rubbish come 2020 and not let him anywhere near influenceable voters. I think they will have seen the error of their ways. Of course, now, we thought that in 2012. I mean, the GOP went as far as to issue a GOP autopsy with some bona fide good ideas to broaden their appeal, and not one of them, you know, was made manifest this time around. So who knows?
And again, I go back to that generational thing that I raised. And that is, and that is this. This is kind of their last hurrah. But is there anything about the Republican Party's younger lights that suggests that they're somehow going to have any respect for or any ideas relative to women, immigrants, refugees? Because what I'm getting at is it's kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, Trump might have had a better chance had he not made the Mexican rapist comment right off the bat. On the other hand, that's kind of what motivated a whole bunch of the goddamn Klansmen and Nazis and skinheads and white nationalists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, isn't it?
Well, to answer that question about the younger generation of Republicans, it was either on PBS NewsHour the other night or Vice News on HBO. They were interviewing or talking about some younger Republicans, and many of them, even though they're voting for Trump, were reported highly upset and in disagreement with some of these rhetorical measures that Trump was taking. You know, I, if there is a next generation for younger GOP voters, I would think that they are going to be somewhat more establishment, although not to the point of being like John Boehner or Mitch McConnell or somebody like that. They're going to be somewhere between the teabaggers and the establishment.
But even saying that, does that mean because look, they cannot, and this sort of points toward the idea that we're stuck in this cold civil war. The Republican Party can't back away and say, "Oh ho hum, women have a right to choose what they do about a pregnancy." It's the law, it's constitutional, you know, it's decided, oh well. Because the Republican, a significant portion of the Republican voting base goes away. Now, oddly enough, and I think this is interesting, the Democrats largely did do something like that with regard to firearms. Firearms almost entirely disappeared from the platforms in what, 08, 12, 04? And even so, the Republicans said, yeah, they're going to come get your guns. And they're still saying it.
But isn't it true that it all depends on what Republicans en masse wish to see as an outcome in their electoral efforts? If they want to lose time after time, at least the presidency, they will stick to their tried and true formulas and talking points. But look at marriage equality. That has ceased to be an issue, at least in presidential politics. And in 04, if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the rallying points that Karl Rove used in 04 to try to get Bush reelected. Weren't there some state questions in a lot of these Republican states in 04 about same-sex marriage?
Oh, yeah. No, that had a world to do with Bush's reelection.
Yeah. Cough, cough.
Right. And you know, you've got some gun, you got some gun stuff on some individual state ballots here, but I don't think it has the... Because what was leveraged in 04, Scott, was the power of bigotry.
Well, it's the religious right. They bought Bush's thinking hook, line, and sinker because he was one of them, a true believer. You know. But see, as to me, it comes down to this. If they're bright enough to see that the old ways aren't working, or if they are working, they're not working as effectively, if they have any sense, which I hope they don't, they'll modify their approach. And you've made this case a couple of times that Trump is the boogeyman of today, but 4 years hence, there may be an equally bad boogeyman who packages it and presents it in a more palatable way for gullible people. And then watch out, boys and girls, because it's going to get pretty hairy.
Gonna get.
I can't believe we're speculating on 2020, and they're still voting in 2016. God, this is like Kansas City and food. Kansas City was the only place I ever lived where you're sitting at breakfast with some people talking about what you're going to have for lunch and then later on for supper. Or dinner. God, we are gluttons for this.
Well, I mean, but there will be stuff to talk about between now and November 18 and November 2020. But I don't think we do ourselves any favor if we fail to take into account that thanks to the for-profit media, we live in a permanent campaign culture.
Oh, God, yeah.
And here with just a few minutes before the top of the hour, I'd kind of like to transition into that discussion. I started that, I made mention of it last night. And I think we would do well to consider it now. You know, the comment was made in the chat room early on that, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats have to stop being so mean to the poor little put upon third parties. Once you've got ballot access, you got ballot access. The Greens, the Mountain Party in West Virginia, gets to run a gubernatorial candidate every year, and they have since the 90s. And they keep getting stomped, 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 and they keep getting stomped. It's not for want of ballot access. Yeah, but they won't let them debate. Oh, it's just the poor babies. You know, they don't get into the debates because they can't manifest, you know, 10 even a pathetic 10% support. So that, you know, that tells you something about the system and about the place of a, you know, if more people knew about the Mountain Party, well, you know, isn't that your job? It's not the Republicans' job. It's not the Democrats' job.
Yeah, Bob, I see what you're saying.
But we don't have any money.
You know, the only thing I'm going to say is money does have a lot to do with it, and access and exposure and what you're used to, you know.
Well, no, Jim, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. But at some point in time, it's not self-defeating. It's just sort of self-negating. I mean, I like the fact that the Green Party says we won't take any corporate cash. But guess what? We live in a political system that is fueled by corporate cash. So as long as you're not taking it, you know, Bernie made great inroads. Bernie did it, but Bernie also did it running under the rubric of the Democratic Party, not off in the weeds with the Greens. He wouldn't have raised near the money he raised had he been off playing among the bulrushes.
I was sitting in $10 a month. I mean, I know it's not much, but
anyway, just to continue the train of thought. This is, as I said last night, you know, this is our political finance system is the epitome of a capitalist system.
Oh yeah.
And when the final numbers are tallied, the amount of money spent in this election cycle is going to be mind-boggling. I mean, we spent in West Virginia, outside money alone coming in support of the attorney general candidacy, not even the governor, just the attorney general, the outside money that's come in from various, you know, the Family Policy Research Council for Christ and, you know, whatever. $7 million. $7 million for a crummy little attorney general position. All to try to save the bacon of a pill pusher that wasn't put in here over pills, but was put in here instead to try to manipulate the legal landscape of this state to make sure that people who get butchered or poisoned can't get access to justice in the courts. $7 million. And that's just the outside money. That's not the actual campaign cash, and that's the attorney general. He's largely self-financed, Jim Justice has, but that's still a horse gagging load of money. And then there's the outside money for the outside money for Bill Cole, the governor's nominee. And the poor little mountain parties out there having fucking bake sales, they don't have a chance. They do not have a chance. And the only thing I would add to it is if we get rid of Citizens United tomorrow, which I'm all in favor of, they still don't have a chance. Because it's not like there was a system where there was no corporate cash in the political system. I mean, getting rid of Citizens United is not a magic bullet. Oh no, not that. We're not going to talk about the magic bullet, damn it. But that's even beside the point, Jim. I'm talking in terms of how we view the entire electoral system.
Well, and there's, I understand, because each state, each district kind of decides its own, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, hold on, because the thing is, the centerpiece, the linchpin of all this, it's not the political parties. It's not even the corporate donors. It's damn sure not the poor little folks kicking in $10 a month. The centerpiece of all of this, and the reason that we can't do a goddamn thing about it, is the for-profit media.
Yeah, they're not going to give that away, Bob. It's just like what I've heard in Europe and other more, dare I say, enlightened countries where the campaigns are financed, or the they're financed by the state, and, you know, each person gets a set amount, and then also there's also, you know, I've just heard a lot better things about Europe as far as the way they
run. They have shorter
political systems, and I'm sure there's examples where a country here it's screwed up, and that happens because you're dealing with power. It's, you know, I mean, not everybody's like us who wants to do just what we see, feel are good things. People just want to make money, which is the driving factor in America and throughout most of the world too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the New York Times has made a fortune on advertising. The little old Charleston Gazette Mail has made a fortune this term on advertising. Shit-eaten little local television stations that run "If it bleeds, it leads" news, and generally run ads for Stevie's Texaco free car wash with Phillips on Friday, have made a killing this election. And the same can be said for every little pissant TV station across the country, the only difference being that most of those little pissant TV and radio stations are now owned by giant corporations that are owned by right-wing interests. So, from a socialist perspective, not that, you know, I'm the socialist, but you get what I'm saying. From a socialist perspective...
Talk to me, Bob.
This is nothing but a negative wealth transfer from the people who can least afford it to the people who least need it. It's, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, as tax breaks for the rich in a more governmental forum. And until we have a serious conversation about the welfare that we provide via the campaign finance system to A, B, goddamn C, and C, goddamn N, N, motherfucking B, C, and fuck 'em, Fox. There's not, you can holler about campaign finance reform till hell freezes over. You can get rid of Citizens United. And you're still going to have the same goddamn problem. Because you haven't tried to solve the problem. You've been treating symptoms. You know, look, every time an ad has run on ABC, George Snuffleupagus has gotten a little piece of that action. Every time an ad has run on MSNBC, Joe Scarborough gets a little piece of that action. No, he's not working on commission or anything, but it is. But the system supports him and everybody else that draws a check. You know, when you hear the shit-eating elitists like, you know, Cokie Goddamn Roberts or Mrs. Greenspan out there opining over their lark's vomit canapes. Well, part of what enables them to do that is people who send in $3 and $5 to the individual campaigns, Democrat or Republican, so that it can be used to pay giant media goddamn juggernauts. Sometimes we think about things like branding or framing. Let's start talking about media reform as fucking welfare reform. What do you say?
Bob?
Yeah.
Here's my observation on everything that you've said. Now, I will give you the corporate media dictates the conversation and the coverage. I'll give you that. But going back to Eisenhower's farewell address in early 61, before JFK came into office, he warned of the military-industrial complex. Now, in the original draft of the speech, it was supposed to be the military-industrial congressional complex.
Bingo.
Now, how that applies here is like this. Who's in it with the corporate media? And I'm looking at the notion of third and fourth party viability and access. Who's in it with the corporate media? Now, you know the parties, Democrat and Republican, don't want any third party upstarts in the conversation. So you know they're in it. You know that the super PACs don't want anything that would detract from their favorite son or daughter to muddle up the conversation. So it's sort of a modern version of military industrial congressional complex vis-a-vis the corporate media, the political parties, capitalism, just as a giant globule over the overall landscape. There are some players in this thing, and individually they're tough to fight, but collectively they become even tougher to fight, I think.
Stronger. Hey, what were we told? Stronger together, right? I think I just came up with a new acronym. Somebody jot this down. The corporate oligarchic media military industrial experiment.
I like it.
Commie. This country is under assault by commies. The corporate oligarchic media military industrial experiment.
There you go.
We need to hang on to that.
Put it on a ball cap and then get somebody to run against it.
Too many big words, too many syllables.
Too complex.
But the congressional oligarchic media military industrial experiment.
Because, see, tied into what I just said a little while ago here about who is on whose side that we're, the rest of us are all up against, it comes down to then further messing up the conversation or confusing things is the fact that I wear a blue hat and Joe Blow over there wears a red hat and so-and-so down there wears a green hat, and they got us fighting with one another when we're not the problem. We are an expression of a larger problem, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let me share a couple of emails here since we're 10 past 8 and only 50 minutes to go in the conversation. I'll also extend thanks to Steve and Miss Karen and little Cletus. Cletus is not hiding under the bed yet, but, you know. Thank you very kindly to you. We are at $168 in fundraising to go. It would be mighty, mighty nice to get that down to zero in the next 48 minutes. Note coming in from Steve in Vermont. The talking heads keep talking about Hillary reaching out to Republicans. That comes naturally to Hillary. Her cabinet posts will be full of Republicans, so when it comes to economic budgetary policies that will be opposed by the Sanders-Warren wing, she will have a veil of deniability from her cabinet, just like the DNC did the dirty work during the primary. Machine politics will obliviously continue between the impeachment hearings, lawsuits, political grandstanding, and obstruction. Dios nos ayuda a todos. And I don't speak Spanish. What did I just say?
Something in total. God help us all, I think.
Yeah, God help us all, I think.
Yeah.
Then this subject line, privileged position, it's Wednesday here. He already knows who won. Here's a funny one to relieve the election night tension. Ask President Trump, God or the devil forbid, if the level of the federal minimum wage can be tied to the real annual increase of worker productivity. We are, you know, the most productive economy in the world. Neither Dems nor GOPs ever seem to make the connection, however. Here's another one. Ask either contender if the U.S. can ever consider something as rational and progressive as a value-added tax, since we all know such a tax helps to adjust for the simple economic fact that it is the lifestyles of the rich and famous that cause prices in the real world to go up as they do, especially when we are living in the world's most productive economy. The rich never pay for a lunch. Right. Happy returns. Regards, Steve in China. Wasn't that nice of Steve to not tell us who already won? Being how he lives in the future. Oh, my God. Update from Georgistan. Steve tells me, Ms. Karen just informed me that Cletus is hiding under the bed. Seriously. And you know, what I said about the media a couple of minutes ago, goddamn, you know, the horse race thing, and we're all doing it right now, okay? The horse race thing is never in on more profound display than the night of the election. I'm looking at the New York Times real-time results. you want to talk something that'll keep eyes glued to screens? They just put Texas blue. Light,
yeah,
baby
it's blue.
Blue.
It's blue on the Guardian site too. It's blue on CNN.
Yeah, and you know why that is. Those are the metropolitan areas coming in.
Yeah, less than 1% reporting. Yeah.
And you just saw that Marco Rubio just
Fort Worth, like the only thing in.
Now, what about Marco Rubio?
Apparently, he just won re-election, according to the Washington Post.
Yeah, go figure. New York Times just turned Michigan baby blue. Yeah, basically, we're looking at, the results ought to get pretty solid for the Eastern time zone here pretty quick. Oh, I think, and now, come to think of it, I think I remember, I said this business of calling states, blah, blah, blah. No, it's they're not supposed to call the election before the polls have closed in the Pacific time zone. But to say, well, you know, Trump won West Virginia, and Trump did. Oh, my God. Trump did.
Well, it's probably too good to hope for, and it won't come to pass. But last summer, after the conventions were over and done with, I made what I refer to as my fearless forecast. And that was that in terms of electoral votes, Trump will get more than the 13 electoral votes that Mondale got in 84 against Reagan. But he'll get fewer, or right at, the 159 electoral votes that Dole got against Clinton in 96. And if Texas is now in play, which I don't think it is, but we could see Clinton getting like 379 and Trump getting like 159, which would be rather decisive, I would say.
My, hey, y'all. You're hanging on to your optimism to the bitter end, aren't you, Scott?
No, I'm just saying, well, I prefaced that. I said this will not come to pass, very likely. It won't, but it is worth hoping for. And I think I heard Rick. Or did you get your microphone?
Hey, Rick.
I've been in a very strange spot. A lawyer who's been muzzled. You know, that's not fair. You know.
Stop telling people how to muzzle. Nobody's been muzzled here.
No, I know. But I think you had asked me, Bob, earlier if I voted. I have. I voted. maybe 11. And I had a chance to go to Arizona or Nevada by catching a bus at 6 a.m. this morning. I got called by, a Hillary campaigner. And I said, you know, I'd like to, but, although, you know, I'm not going to be able to vote because I didn't early vote, you know. I'd have known that, I would have early voted, you know, because it would have been fun to knock on doors. I used to canvass when I was working my way through college, so that would have been a fascinating experience, you know.
Sorry to jump in. CNN's posting 87% reporting in Florida, a margin of 1,600 votes.
Wow! So we're
here we go again.
It's a recount. If it's within a half a percentage point, Florida gets recounted.
They're both 48.5%.
Wow! Wow! With how many votes? 86 point something.
87%.
Jeez. Wow.
Randy in PA reporting, Florida, 8:10 p.m. Trump just jumped into the lead in Florida by 12,000 votes. So that's a few minutes. That's a few minutes earlier than what you just reported, Laurel.
Yep. And I've got from the Guardian here too. Clinton, 3,972,000 votes. Trump 3,968,000 votes, both at 48.5%.
Jesus.
Well, brings back a lot of bad memories 16 years ago, huh?
Not again.
I know.
But you know there have been
stop with the negative waves.
There have been a lot of
stop telling us how to feel, Sparky.
Stop telling us what kind of waves to have, man.
Stop telling me how to hang my chads.
There you go.
Well, but it's ever so much more efficient now. There will be no pregnant chads, no hanging chads. No. This will just be people who kept pushing that goddamn Clinton button and it kept going Trump, Trump, Trump on the video game voting machine.
Or the ones and zeros just changing places, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the machine.
But as I saw one article earlier today, make no mistake, this election was rigged. It was rigged in North Carolina. It was rigged in Wisconsin. It was rigged in Texas. It was rigged everywhere. They made it difficult or impossible for actual citizens of the United States to vote.
Like in Maricopa County, Arizona, the entire city of Phoenix, 60 polling places. The entire county of Phoenix, 2+ million people, 60 voting places.
Yeah, it's like 21,000.
That's rigging an
election. 21,000 voters per precinct.
Machine.
And Randy Rhodes said in 2012 there were like 200 precincts in Maricopa County. They shrunk it to 60. Now, why would that be? Has the population of Arizona gone down that much? Or
No. We have John Roberts to thank for that.
Yes. Thanks, John. And it seems to me that one of the bases for his opinion in Shelby County was that, look, you know, there's no more racial discrimination anymore. We're post-racial. Look, we've elected a black president, this, that, and the other thing. And there, and in reenacting the Voting Rights Act, Congress was looking at old data and old maps. Well, now I think we have new data that shows what the fuck happens when you let these states that have historically discriminated against minorities change their voting procedures without getting DOJ clearance, you know? I mean, like, duh.
We'll keep abortion legal. We'll just clinics. Good luck driving 1,500 miles.
Just a little addendum here.
It's all
so
about
folks,
access.
Just so folks can know. Everybody knows who James O'Keefe is, right?
Oh, that asshat. Oh, geez.
Yeah, sadly, everybody knows who James O'Keefe is. He was
that son of a bitch. Yes.
Well, today.
Who's James O'Keefe? I'm sorry. Who's that?
He's the sleazebag who, with his bullshit editing, took down Acorn, went after Shirley Sherrod, got busted trying to bug the office of Mary Landrieu, and nobody would put him in prison. And today, it was his special mission in life, to go around stalking and following and trailing a black pastor as he drove a van to go and pick up people and take them to the polls, as if that pastor were doing something illegal. And by the time he's edited his filthy goddamn video, the guy will look like he's running around kidnapping Lindbergh babies.
Well, not only that, Deborah Doug. That would give him a reason to introduce a law to make it illegal to pick up people to go vote. They, you know, it's just pull yourself up by your bootstraps economy, right?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim. I'm going to be down New Orleans way on November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd on the way to visit my right-wing brother for Thanksgiving who lives in the Redneck Riviera part of Florida. So, you have any good ideas on where I might want to stay?
Let's hook up. That sounds great. And the ironic thing is that the day Kennedy got his brains blown out of Dallas.
The 22nd, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think I'm... Am I connected to... Do you ever go on Skype or...
I'm on Twitter. I have an email address I can give you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let's just send it to Bob and then he can forward it to me. I guess this isn't making for compelling radio time or whatever. So I'll step off the porch momentarily here. But it'd be great to see you, Jim.
That sounds great, and I think Bob's already got it because I'm a contributor. So I think you got it then, right, Bob? My email.
I can dig that up.
Well, great. I'm looking forward to it. Excellent. It'll be fun.
Well, send me an email when you get it. I mean, I'd give it, but then I might get thousands of hot chicks trying, have sex with me.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be sure to get back to you once Bob forwards you.
Just don't grab him by anything, Jim.
unless I ask permission first, right?
Well, it, let's keep me out of that.
I would be a gentleman, Bob. I'd be an anti-Trump.
I absolutely trust you.
You know what's weird about the whole Trump phenomena is. I've seen, and maybe you haven't, Bob, or perhaps you have. You've seen these rich kids grow up who never want for anything or anything like that. I grew up in an upper middle class family, but nothing anywhere near Donald Trump. And just that kind of arrogance is just, and in the people, a vast majority of the people voting for it. I'm totally clueless because not really clueless. I understand they think he's going to help them. He doesn't want to meet them. He doesn't want to shake their hand. He doesn't want to help them. And that goes against the capitalist system, which you mentioned, I think, two or three times during the show, which is, kind of the main problem. If somehow we could modify it to make it a democratic socialist system, but there's the Bernie in me coming out. I'm sorry. Sometimes I bleed Bernie.
No, it's okay. He's still going to be there, and he's still going to have important things to say, and he's going to be very much a part of the process.
I understand.
I need to. It's 25 past. And I need to send out thanks to Barkway. Thank you very kindly for kicking in this evening. That takes us down to 1:48 to go for the evening. 1:48 as we sweat our way through this election night coverage. Thank you very, very kindly. Note coming in from the Urban Prospector. Hi, Bob. I'm in lovely southeastern Michistan, and guess what? The Republican Secretary of State misspelled Hillary on the ballot in Warren, suburb of Detroit, but Democratic-leaning. They spelled it Hilliary, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-Y, and they put all the Republican candidates first on the ballot. Real works they are down the line. They're like children, I swear. Peace and Clinton feet to the fire. Amen. Do they do that by coin toss? What? All the Republicans were on top on my ballot today, too. Huh. Interesting.
We have better sense out here, Bob. I think we do it alphabetically.
That would make sense, yes.
We also vary it, I think, according to the various counties of the state, so that, it's not like the same all the way across the state. You try to make it so it's like, kind of even it out, let's just say,
Because that's why I was having issues today with my ballot, because I moved, and the ballot that I had in my old address, I'm like, well, I can just use it. No, totally the numbers were different from one district to another. So, because on one, Hillary Clinton and Kane was one number. Then on my other ballot was a different number. Oh, yeah. And that was fun trying to. Oh, we don't take. I said, sweetie, I'm not asked. I need a provisional ballot. I'm a registered voter. This ballot is wrong. I need another. Oh, well, and I'm like, please don't. Please. the brain trust that was working up at our polling place, I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified because it took me a good 20 minutes to explain to the woman, just give me a provisional ballot, please, so I can vote. Because she's like, well, we don't take it in 50 on Van Nuys. I'm like, oh, my God. I know you don't. That's why I need a provisional ballot, because I don't live there anymore, you stupid bitch. I didn't say that, though.
We're so proud of you.
You didn't change your registration, did you?
Yes, I did. That's the problem. I did change it. They screwed up. Like I said, they gave my put my mailing address as my residential address. And once I realized it, before the, you know, I changed it again. And they still didn't, they didn't get it right. So that's why I had to vote provisionally. Yes, Sparky, I'm not a complete idiot. Of course I changed my registration. Are you kidding me? As much as I've been on everybody else's asses about voting? Oh,
well,
no.
I haven't voted in a polling place in 6 years.
Well, that's the thing. I usually don't.
I vote by U.S. mailbox.
And that's normally
simple,
how I vote my
easy,
as well.
Easy peasy. My wife hasn't voted in 30
years. I don't live in
that
district anymore. They didn't change to my current address. So I can't vote for somewhere where I don't live. So, I mean, because I can see it now. She doesn't live there. I didn't even want to think about the fact that they screwed up, and I just wanted to make sure that I was right. No, I took care of all this stuff in, what is this, November? No. I moved in April. Took care of this shit in April. Then I checked it again, and I've been working on this since July, ever since the whole Bernie debacle. So, no, I did what I was supposed to do. LA County Registrar didn't do what they were supposed to do. They did not send me a voter ballot to show, you know, this neighbor, this address, but they never sent me an actual, they didn't put me on the voter rolls. Yeah. Assholes.
Well, I live in a little dinky county compared to yours.
Oh, I gotta
population wise.
I gotta share something funny with you. So you know, Dr. Bill O'Brien's running for office in West Virginia.
Oh, he is.
Yes, he is. And I have great hopes for him. I don't know how it's going to, but I just went scanning down the reports there, courtesy of WV Metro News, looking for Dr. Bill's picture, because they've got the picture with all of the with all of the candidates. Okay. Well, took me a minute because I couldn't find Dr. Bill's picture. Well, there's another Bill O'Brien in Beckley. They've got his picture instead of Dr. Bill's.
Wow.
Ugh.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God.
Bob, there's another anomaly.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Go ahead.
There's another anomaly. The company that I work for is owned by a equity firm, and it's odd that they chose the day before Election Day to let people enroll for benefits. And they made it very plain that their benefits were going to cost a whole lot more this year.
Wow.
Oh, God, I'm listening to the election results in California, and people weren't, how are you not sure about who you're voting for? And this woman's talking about, yeah, there was some Democrats that voted for Trump. I'm like, oh, God. Janice was screaming. This is nerve-wracking. I said, sweetheart. Don't please turn off. Walk away from the television. Turn on Netflix. Something. Do not, under any circumstances, watch TV. because you're going to be screaming out of the bedroom all night long, and I don't want to hear it. And I want to keep you as sane as possible. Turn on Netflix. You don't have to worry about any interruptions, any, you know, breaking news or anything like that. She's like, well, I'll watch the basketball game. Still got to worry about interruptions and breaking news. Turn on Netflix.
Well, I got a new TV stand that I have to put together today from you. Came in the UPS earlier, like 3-something when Bob was running the show. So I got to put that together right after the show before I can watch TV.
Well, there you go.
I got everything disconnected and the TV's laying on the couch waiting for the new TV stand.
Yeah, I just bought I didn't buy a new TV. I bought Jan a new Samsung. No, not a Note, obviously. Note, I mean, what is it, Galaxy, whatever the number is. And because of that, I got a free TV.
Yeah, that was a deal that they had going for a little while, didn't it? Was that Verizon?
Yeah, well, it wasn't even Verizon. It was just Best Buy. Because we do have, she has Verizon for her phone. I have AT&T. But no, not only did I get a new TV, but we got one of those virtual reality goggle thingies that I have yet to try out because I think they might be really scary. And I have this feeling that it might feel like going on. I've never done acid, and I don't really want to know what an acid trip feels like.
Hell, that's the only way to do it.
No, it's not like acid.
I would know, and I don't want to know.
A purple micro dot as the poles begin to close, that'll change your entire perspective, baby. Come on.
It's really not that bad.
I don't care. Because I'm that person that when there's, you know, those the odds of it happening is very minimal. I'm the one that it'll happen to because, you know, I told a story of how I got pregnant. I was on the pill using the sponge. Alex's father was using a condom, and I still got pregnant.
That's some strong sperm.
A week and a half ago when
Comey
wrote...
You got pregnant?
No. I don't think so.
Scott had a bird named Punky.
When Comey released his first email letter about 10, 12 days ago that caused all the hubbub, I said, well, oh, shit. You know, I started getting a little nervous, and I was due for a visit to the cannabis dispensary for the medical cannabis. So I went down and got me a couple of handygrams, and so I'm all set. I'm going to wait for things to get rocking and rolling, though, in terms of poll closings and returns coming in. And see, the thing that will keep us all sane, even without chemicals or booze, is the fact that Trump will have, in order for him to prevail tonight, there is this unbelievably serpentine path through the electoral map that he has to do exactly right in order to win. And unless I'm mistaken, I don't know that that's going to be possible for him. Okay?
Scott, I would almost analogize that to, like, he's almost has to have a draw, like a royal flush, not just a straight flush, but almost a royal
not only a royal flush there, Rick, the royal flush all the way down to the nine, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Or how about a royal flush down the toilet, Donald, you know?
and to further the notion, if living right or being right is an indicator as far as the chances of drawing a royal flush, again, Trump does not qualify because he ain't being right, and he sure as hell ain't living right from what I can tell.
Well, you know, I'm a casino dealer, and one time dealing Texas Hold'em, I dealt myself a 6-card royal flush. I had the 9-10 Jack Queen of Spades up on the board, and my pocket cards were Ace King of Spades, so it could happen.
Yeah, that always George happens. Time. That always happens for the house.
Yep.
Yeah, it always happens to the house. It doesn't happen to the people we're playing.
Hey, Jules, they've called Todd Young for Indiana Senate, the Republican, beating Evan Bayh.
Yep, I think Greg lost too.
Sounds like he really screwed up that race, because he was ahead like just 2 weeks ago. He had a 75% chance of winning.
Yep, he did. He sure did. And I think
what did he do? He snatched victory out of the jaws of defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Absolutely, he did. Yeah,
yep, he did.
Looks like
Toomey's getting stomped in Pennsylvania.
That's good. I'm concerned about the New Hampshire race because we really need that.
Yeah, there's no reason that Maggie Hassan should be trailing Kelly Ayotte. I mean, Jesus God, please. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Try base jumping in a wingsuit. 4K in 360 degrees. Fun in the sun. So, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here going, really? Because Metro News considers themselves the journalistic voice of West Virginia. And they can't even be bothered to get Dr. Bill's photo right? I know, I'm hypersensitive about this, but still.
No, you're not. It's perfectly logical. I mean, it's perfectly reasonable that you're upset about it. I don't blame you.
What's the name of that newspaper?
It's not a newspaper. This is a right-wing broadcast outfit that pretty much controls news dissemination in this state.
Okay.
WVMetroNews.com.
Well, it sounds like the only thing they haven't done is abscond with ABC's old news tagline from 20 years ago, uniquely qualified to bring you the world.
Just a quick update from here in West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, because, you know, who cares? With 134 precincts reporting out of 1,743, 8% of the counting complete, Jim Kuntakinte Justice leads Bill Unfairly High Wages Cole by 47% to 43%. Charlotte off playing in the weeds. Pritt has 6%. And the Libertarian, whose name is entirely applicably David Moran, is at 3%.
I got some more West Virginia news, Bob. Just as you spoke, they've given West Virginia to Trump.
Oh, long time ago. We could have done that a week ago and been fine.
66 to 33.
That over an hour ago.
Oh, was that an hour ago? Okay.
Yeah.
I just turned the TV
on. Rand Paul gets reelected in Kentucky.
That was expected.
Yeah, they just gave Sullivan County, Tennessee, where I was born and raised, right across the line from Scott County, Virginia. They just gave it to Trump.
By the way, the Democrat, with only 159 precincts out of 1743 reporting, at this point in time, the Democrat is trailing the sleazebag pharmaceutical lobbyist incumbent Patrick Morrissey by exactly the same percentage of votes as is held by the Mountain Party candidate. Not saying that's how it's going to finish, but, you know. Not saying.
Okay, Tracy, what's the picture of you just posted?
She's got some food porn, I think. She's giving us some visual, and she's going to now do audio food porn. What you got there, Tracy?
It looks good, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be your smothered chicken.
Oh.
Smothered.
I've never smothered my chicken. I just choke it.
That's my line.
That's another. Down another circle of hell you go.
Well, okay, so listen, I come by it honestly. When I was living in Kansas City in the 80s, I used to go to this restaurant called Stroud's Chicken, and you could buy a T-shirt, and it had a picture of the restaurant on the front, and on the back their motto, "We choke our own chickens."
Oh, my God. So did you guys see the picture? Speaking of chicken, did you guys see the pictures of the chicken, some other chicken and stuff that I just sent just to torture you guys?
Yes.
Did you marinate that?
Yeah, we were
that
talking
mayonnaise?
About it.
I didn't hear you guys because I was talking to my son. No, did I marinate it? No.
In mayonnaise,
Yeah, mayonnaise, you bastards. No. Well, fuck you and mayonnaise. No, no. It was just plain old, like, you know, like my grandma used to make, get that chicken and get that big brown paper bag and, you know, season your chicken and then season the flour. Throw it in some oil. Take that out. You know, then take the chicken out. Let it sit. Do your onions and your mushrooms. And you add some more flour, some chicken broth, and then throw it back in. And dinner.
Looks delicious. Good job.
Hey, I have my moments. I figured I wanted something really greasy, and I needed that. Like I said, I was going to do biscuits, but I changed my mind. So I got cheated and just got some white, old school white bread. So I got some white, a stack of white bread with butter. See, it's, even though I never lived in the country, I know how my grandparents used to eat. Well, somebody named Dick Duckworth just won the Illinois, looks like Senate for Illinois. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah. No,
you don't know who Tammy Duckworth is?
She's a hero, military hero.
Wait a minute. Okay, you guys, remember. Now you sound. Remember how we always talk about how liberals have a tendency to make other people feel not so smart because they don't know as much as other people do? That's that moment. That's what you guys just did to me. I don't know who Tammy Duckworth was. That's why I said, is that a good thing just because she's a Democrat? See, I know enough to know just because somebody's a Democrat doesn't mean that we care. I mean, that we want her to be, you know, that we align ourselves with her. So who is Tammy Duckworth and why are we happy that she became the senator from Illinois? Go.
All right. She was first of all, sorry, Tracy. I guess I shouldn't assume that everybody has the same, follows politics the way I do. She lost a couple of legs in a crash of her helicopter, I think in Iraq or something like that. And she's currently a congresswoman in Illinois running to defeat Mark Kirk, who is a right-wing jerk.
Idiot.
I mean, the guy's so unpopular that my right-wing brother, who is probably, I'm sure, going to vote for Trump and is probably a Tea Party, or will not be voting for Mark Kirk. So he's not an asshole.
Wait a minute. Isn't she the one that went off on somebody at a congressional hearing about what a hero is? He got...
Yes.
That's her.
He stubbed his toe or something. And she's really? Really?
Wow.
That's an injury? No. That's a really seriously, that you call that an injury? That's her? I didn't know her name.
That's her. Her mom, I think, is from Thailand, and her father they met like when her dad was in the military and met her mom in Thailand. And so during the debate, Mark Kirk cracked a joke. You know, she was saying how
oh, no, he didn't.
You know, for generations, she and her family members have, you know, always volunteered for the military and suffered and died and so forth. And then he made a crack about how, oh, so your parents went from Thailand to Washington to the U.S. to enlist in Washington's army then. It's like, what?
No.
Yes, he said that.
And what's really shitty is that the Human Rights Campaign backed him ahead of her.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then when that happened, they flipped it. They said, you motherfucker. Well, they didn't say that, but they said, they reversed it.
Well,
so.
This is why I'm not in charge of anything. See, this is why I'm not a spokesperson for anything, because, see, that's would have been me. I would have been you, motherfucker. Because, see, that's why I'm not a spokesperson. That right there, because, like you said, Jules, that motherfucker, I would have been the one, you motherfucker, you.
And or I'm going to...
That motherfucker over there.
And I'm going to interject real quick, because, you know, Tuesday, early part of the week, yada, 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 and everybody hates this, including me. But we have $148 to go fundraising for the evening, trying to keep even with the week. So,
Bob,
you know, yes.
Has there been any more? Has there been any new subscribers?
Oh yes, there have. Oh yes, there have. There have about half of your offer has been consumed.
Nice. So that's $25. Hey.
Right. Yep. And that offer closes on Friday. New subscribers get. $5 added to your first month's subscription, courtesy of Tracy, who you're listening to right now. And we've got $148 to raise this evening, just to stay even. We are not out front in fundraising. I hate talking about it. You hate hearing about it. But, you know, assuming I could, like, snap my fingers and we could have a world-class sales staff of Herb Tarlicks out there selling radio ads for prepaid funeral plans and vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and shit, wouldn't you just love it if we stopped everything every 7 minutes and ran 4 minutes of that shit? Wouldn't you love it? Yeah, I know.
If I may interrupt just a moment. You were talking about the for-profit media earlier.
Yeah.
If we redirected our campaign funds to independent radio and supported our local independent radio, who were supporting, the people who we really want to support and not the people who we really don't want to have in office but are stuck with, you know, we might be a little bit better off. So if we kind of siphon funds to Bob, then, hey, everyone would be better off, right?
Well, I mean,
no way. Independent radio, I didn't even, out here in the Midwest, I didn't even know Tom Hartman existed until 2010, and I've been a lifelong liberal, honey. Okay, there ain't no such thing as progressive radio or independent radio out here.
Well, let's understand something. It's not, you know, this is a little bit of not self-aggrandized, but network aggrandizement. This conversation is not going on anywhere else.
No.
This conversation isn't taking place on other progressive radio either. A whole bunch of people who just happen to be smart and part of a community, and we all get to talk together. You know, I'm not the only one that benefits from this. I don't just enjoy this. We all, and everybody who listens and doesn't participate, I get emails. I love Friday on the front porch. And this happens to be, you know, Tuesday on the side porch or whatever. But it's, you know, it's not just versus broadcast. It's not just versus for profit. It's, this is something unique. And even if it's just, you know, an ordinary weekend or an ordinary weeknight when somebody gets to call up and talk for a half an hour because they've got that much to say, that doesn't happen either. We were very much in earnest when we came up with and committed to the idea of conversation radio. And this is that. So if we could knock down that last $148 this evening, it would be huge because there are bills waiting to be paid. That's all that stands between us and going dark month by month by month by month. I have to share, something else, just now. I mean, I talk about how hard it, you know, not hard. It's not like, you know, get up and tote that barge and lift that bale or anything. The 15 miles on the Erie Canal. But it is different to be a progressive in a blood red state. And so, I just had a note from somebody I know in another blood red state, to wit, Talabama.
Ooh.
And he said, on the ballot in your home state, Bob, 8 statewide elections not even contested by the Democrats. It is sickeningly sad to live here, but here I am. How did we end up spending our lives in these two ridiculous places? He says, down here we might as well not have an Alabama Democratic Party. And I mention that because, you know what? Go south, young Greens. There's your opportunity. The only way the Greens are ever going to become a viable force in any state is by going somewhere that one of the two parties is moribund. Go south, young Greens. Go to Alabama. Move to Alabama. You'll love it there. It's beautiful. The food is wonderful. The college football's the best to be had. The weather is lovely most of the time. You'll want to make sure that you build yourself a tornado shelter. I mean, climate change. But you can be a part of changing the dialogue on climate change, too. Because the Democratic Party there is dead, 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 dead. There's nothing to celebrate about being a Democrat in fucking Alabama. Okay? Meanwhile, my buddy says, we're now down to celebrating Hartsel, Alabama going wet. Because they still got dry counties in Alabama where you can't even buy a damn beer. We are now celebrating Hartsel going wet. Going wet, like anyone in that town wasn't born drunk in a trailer. And he's not listening right now, but I'll tell him that he got a cowbell. That's because, I mean, you got to know Hartsel. That's H-A-R-T-S-E-L-L-E. And it's the way he put it. And it's nothing about trailers, okay? It's any, and like anybody there wasn't born drunk in a trailer. Born drunk. Especially the goddamn Republican Baptists. They stagger out of the womb.
Oh, my God.
And they own the government down there. Go, little greens. Go. Be happy. Change things. Go.
Fly and be free.
Yes. Go. Born free. Right. Go do some goddamn good.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're killing me. You're killing me. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord Jesus.
I mean, honestly. and meanwhile, I just got to throw this out there as we wrap up this, because, you know, it's not all election stuff. Things are a little weird around here where I live right now. Now, I realize on the, especially if you ask Trump, on the mean streets of New York or the vicious avenues of South Central, or God knows, President Obama's hometown of Chicago. There's murders and death all the time. But when the hillbillies start to take into bumping each other off, it's something different. Mm-hmm. So I was on the way home the other night after picking up Margie at Hellmart. And off in the distance, I had my window rolled down. It was a lovely 70-degree night in West Virginia in November. Because climate change is a, you know, great liberal Chinese hoax. Well, I kept thinking I heard a siren. And after a while of checking my rear view, I realized I did. And it wasn't a cop car. Nobody was after me. It wasn't an ambulance. It was one of those that kept going, ah, 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 ah. It was a fire truck. And on this little tiny two-lane road where you can be pushed over into the New River Gorge, pretty goddamn easy, I started looking for a wide spot. Because, I mean, this fire engine was coming hell-bent for leather. I mean, hell among the yearlings, Katie bar the door. And I got over, and it passed me by. I kind of followed along. The fire engine can only go hell-bent for leather so fast on these little roads. And as we got down into what's called the dip, lo and behold, that fire engine turned, like 160 degrees to the right, almost going the other way. And two more fire engines came from two more VFDs howling up that road. And I heard, and later on, I was told there was a big whoom that could be heard all over this little tiny area. And turned out a house had been, they're just calling it arson, not bombed. Two people burned up in it, in the arson. Then last night, the Fayetteville and Oak Hill fire departments were called out a little after 8 p.m. for a brush fire on the top of Dempsey Mountain on Dempsey Road between Fayetteville and West Virginia 61, which is another little two-lane road where you can be pushed off, yada, yada, yada. So when they showed up, the Fayetteville and Oak Hill fire departments, they found a massive brush fire on the hillside and a vehicle that was parked next to Dempsey Road. it was, as the firefighters say, fully involved. When a quote from the newspaper article at the West Virginia Charleston Gazette, when the firefighters extinguished the vehicle, they found a body in the vehicle and requested law enforcement assistance. Now, this isn't in the newspaper. The body was in the vehicle, all right. In the trunk. So, like I said, it's getting a little weird around here.
Oh, my. Yeah, it is.
And, you know, drug deals gone bad? Sure, why not? I mean, you get that with a massive drug culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's a little nervous making.
Mm. It is. Before you close out, Bob, I will be remiss if I do not do this, and I will get a yelling at. But no, I won't get a yelling at. Thomas did ask if I would invite folks to come on over when they get done with wherever they're at, or come over right after a show if they'd like. We're going to be doing election coverage up until 1 a.m. So they're welcome to join us, and I'll be hanging around too. So. There you go, folks. I will leave you alone for a while.
Well, break a leg, Jules, and I hope folks enjoy. You can change things. You can make a difference. A few minutes ago, I tweeted at Metro News that they couldn't even be bothered to get Bill O'Brien's picture right. And so, lo and behold, I used hashtag pathetic, hashtag typical, or hashtag pitiful, and hashtag typical. They went out and found Dr. Bill's goddamn photograph. So
good job.
Yay, good us. Job. Standing up to the man.
Awesome. Hey, when are you going to get results in Bill's election?
Well, they're rolling in right now. There are 24 out of 45 precincts reporting, 53% complete, and he's in third by 6% behind the two godforsaken Republican incumbent sons of bitches. With 24 out of 45 precincts reporting.
He's running against two incumbents? How's that?
Well, there's two Democrats running against two Republicans, and the two Democrats are third and fourth, and the two Republicans are first and second.
Oh, okay.
And the two Republicans are useless as, you know...
used tissue.
Tits on a boar.
There you go.
I mean, they're your typical raw milk voting, worrying about the potty, you know, that kind of sleaze bags. So, yeah. Well, hey, it's already 9:01. I got to get out of here. It's been a wonderful conversation, everybody. Thank you very kindly.
You take care.
I've had a blast. I hope y'all have as well.
Yeah.
All I can say is, you know, strap the hell in before
I'm looking at. I'm looking at the New York Times. They've got this forecast dials, these forecast dials that keep bobbing up and down, you know, presidency, you know, margins and projected vote things, and they're kind of bobbling. And I keep wanting to pull up on the yaw button, on the yaw stick. It's like, pull up.
pull up. Yeah, it's like Yossarian in Catch 22. Pull up, you bastard! Yeah, right. Yeah, they've got Kansas faintly blue, the New York Times does. They've even got Missouri stand faintly blue, but that won't last.
CNN's already called Kansas for Trump, and Dakota's, they both called for Trump, and Nebraska and Wyoming's been called for Trump on CNN, too. So,
well, if we pull out a victory, you know, I'll be here tomorrow night. If we wind up living in Trumplandia, I'll be here tomorrow night, but I may have a straw in a tequila bottle. I'm kidding. It goes like that.
I've got two cases of wine. I'm sharing.
Yeah, but you don't have. Yeah,
on the ready.
Yeah, but you don't. You don't have any. You don't have any swirly straws, Jules. Don't kid us. y'all have a great night. I got to get out of here. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thanks as usual, Sparky, for managing this merry little band. I do appreciate it. And, we'll talk tomorrow. And thanks to everybody who spends time listening to this little nightly conversation. Thanks for making this community. And thanks to everybody who, with your kind contributions, keeps the community you make on the air. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Good night, y'all. Hang on tight.